From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. The 84th Texas Legislature opens today. A look at priorities and money in a moment. First, the cities of Dallas and Irving took a first step toward an earthquake task force yesterday with an afternoon conference call, including experts from the U.S. Geological Survey. 17 small quakes hit the Irving area in the past week. BJ Austin reports several of those were felt in Dallas, and some residents there are still unsettled.
At a Dallas City Council update on the swarm of earthquakes that has shaken windows and rattled nerves, Councilwoman Jennifer Gates said she would never have imagined.
If somebody had told me my first year we'd be dealing with earthquakes and Ebola, I would be a little bit surprised that that would be Dallas and District 13.
That district stretches from Webb Chapel on the west to Vickery Meadow in East Dallas. Constituents living closest to Irving reported feeling several of the quakes. Rocky Vaz, director of the Dallas Office of Emergency Management, told council members a primary goal of any task force would be getting the latest accurate information on the earthquakes to the public and educating them on what to do when the ground starts shaking.
Drop, duck, cover, get under a table. If you're inside the house, stay inside, don't run out. If you're outside, stay away from electric poles or tall buildings, be in an open area.
Dallas council members asked city officials if the building codes should be updated. There have been some seismic standards on the books since 2002.
Based on the historical situation that we've been in, the requirements are minimal.
That's David Sessions, City of Dallas Building Code Administrator. He can't say what magnitude might trigger a review and possible upgrade. He says the measurements are different.
Richter scale is more of a measure of the intensity of the event itself. The building code is actually dealing with the horizontal ground motion, which is where the major damage comes from as far as the buildings are concerned.
Sessions says there's always been horizontal ground movement in a quake.
But in the Dallas area, that motion is so minimal. The code doesn't trigger any major requirements as it would do, let's say, in California.
Rocky Vaz told council members the likelihood of a North Texas magnitude 5 earthquake, the threshold for serious damage, is 0.023, very small. The strongest quake so far has been 3.6. In Irving, where most of the quakes have been recorded, the city council gets an update from SMU seismologists on Thursday. For KERA News, I'm BJ Austin.
And two SMU seismologists will talk about their earthquake research today at 1 on Think here on KERA 90.1. The Texas legislature starts work today in Austin, and the state controller released his budget forecast yesterday. Lawmakers will have $113 billion to spend. That's about $10 billion more than the current Texas budget. There's also a budget surplus of $7.5 billion. Texas Comptroller Glenn Hager warned yesterday that plunging oil prices is casting uncertainty.
We are well ahead and well aware that oil prices have dropped significantly in recent months. These lower prices will likely lead to a significant slowing in oil exploration and production, and thus has dampened our overall economic forecast for the coming biennium. We are fortunate, however, that the Texas of 2014 has a much more diverse economy than in prior decades.
Hager said he expects the Texas economy to expand, but at a slower pace than in recent years. Gun rights activists will stage a day-long demonstration at the Texas Capitol today. They won't just be carrying guns, they'll be manufacturing gun parts on the Capitol grounds. Nathan Bernier reports from KUT in Austin.
The Ghost Gunner is a small, easy-to-use milling machine that cranks out gun parts. It was developed by Cody Wilson, a University of Texas student who drew attention for using a 3D printer to make plastic guns. Critics of the technology say it's dangerous because it can be used to produce untraceable semi-automatic rifles. Today, at the Capitol, activists will use the Ghost Gunner machine to make part of an AR-15.
You're not going to actually be able to pick it up and fire it.
Murdoch Pizzgatti is with Come and Take It Texas. He says they're trying to push for the passage of House Bill 195, which would allow people to carry handguns openly without a permit in Texas.
And the momentum and the excitement from our efforts these last 2 years has really made this a hot-button topic.
Competing legislation would let people carry handguns openly in Texas only if they have a concealed handgun license. Governor-elect Greg Abbott has said he would sign an open carry bill if the legislature passes it. In Austin, I'm Nathan Bernier.
The Dallas School District recently opened two new high school drop-in centers to help students in need, including homeless kids. The district has partnered with a nonprofit group to help remove the stigma from kids afraid to say they're homeless. Bill Zeeble visited one of the newest centers at Madison High near Fair Park.
It's just before 8 a.m. in a large room in Madison High. School is still an hour away, but in here, there are donuts, candy, energy bars, school uniforms.
A little bird of sun will fly away.
A local musician named Cowboy Bob plays music to give this place a coffeehouse feel. This is the district's newest drop-in center. DISD urban specialist Kim Toynes says it's an attempt to lighten things up for those stressed by challenges like homelessness.
If a student is coming from a shelter in the morning and they get here to the school, that cafeteria is just more of another institutional type place. When they come in here, it's an opportunity to sit around comfortably, get relaxed. It's somebody actually showing that they care about how their day gets started.
Toynes estimates Madison has a dozen or more homeless kids. There are at least 3,400 in the district. That doesn't always mean they're sleeping in a car or under a bridge. Officially, they may not be living with parents. Maybe they're sofa surfing with friends or staying with a relative for a week or a month. The district is counting on student volunteers to spread the word about the drop-in center and to get kids comfortable with visiting here. Toynes recruited senior Ebony Loy to help the effort.
We come and we, like, sit and talk to, like, the students. And if we know a student that needs something, we direct them here.
Sarita Johnson came in Monday morning to check out the center just because she was curious.
When Ebony told me about it, she summed it up. She was like, if you ever need anything, or if you ever just want to know something, or you just confused about something, you can come up here and they can help you with whatever you need. And I was like, what you talking about? And she was like, home, school-wise, they can help you with everything you need. I was like, okay.
Keith Price is here to help. Executive director of the nonprofit Focus on Teens, he was at the center Monday and works with the district at these drop-in centers. His group focuses on those who may have drug or suicide problems or need a place to live.
We open up our drop-in center, let's say between 7:30 and 8, and our thinking is that anybody that comes to our drop-in center early, generally it's not because the bus was early. Something's going on, and that's okay. So we welcome them.
Drop-in centers help draw out homeless kids too embarrassed to admit it. Price says they shouldn't be ashamed. They should be admired because they're still in school.
That is a major step. They have their toe in the water. I'm not working with a youngster that's not in school. I'm working with a kid that's in school. And if they show that kind of moxie, you can build on it. You can build on that foundation because that's huge. Because their alternative is to be gone.
Another drop-in center is scheduled to open next week at Samuel High School in South Dallas. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
And on our way out, some news from the Arts Desk. With the holidays a whole year away, the Dallas Opera revealed yesterday its 2015-2016 season will include a world premiere, Becoming Santa Claus. It's an original holiday fantasy from American composer Mark Adamo, best known for the operas Lysistrata and Little Women. The company had already announced it would debut Great Scott, a major new work by Jake Heggie, the composer of Moby Dick. And plans are underway to give the Dallas Holocaust Museum a new home. Museum officials say they've purchased two parcels of land in the West End, not far from the museum's current home. They plan to build the museum on one and use the other for parking. A design team has already started planning exhibition spaces. You can see conceptual drawings of the new building at artandseek.org. Cloudy skies with a high around 40 ahead of us today. The overnight low will drop to 32. Look for a high tomorrow of 43. 32 degrees now in Dallas and Fort Worth. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.